13 before live on Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. Did you ever find those lies from Satan are wrapped up so beautifully? It's the new shiny thing, right? So how do you get around that? Tommy Tai, the Catholic hipster, is joining us from San Francisco this morning to talk about those lies of Satan, recognizing them and putting them behind us. Tommy, good morning. How was Christmas and New Year's for the family? Good to have you back.
Same to you. Great to be with you guys.
How was Christmas with all the kids in the house?
It's always wild. We always have a good time. So, you know, my wife is great because she's one of seven and I'm an only child. So she does a really good job at maintaining the presence to a minimum kind of appropriate, humble level. Thank God for her, because when I look at it, I'm like, wait, we got to get more stuff, because as an only child, that's kind of how it worked, I guess. So I really thank God for her keeping our budget within limits.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I'm an only child as well. And just before Christmas, we were talking with Bishop Donald Hying. With his brothers, he said, you know, growing up in a relatively big family, we only got one thing each for Christmas, and we really cherished it. We played with it. And focusing on stuff, that stuff, it's the next new shiny thing that always comes along. Isn't that one of tricks in Satan's bag? One of those lies that Satan can put in front of us? Oh, if you get the next new shiny thing, everything will be okay. Kind of take your eye off the ball of getting to heaven.
I would most definitely say so. I think we're totally obsessed with that trick at this point, because we're completely bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, right? So I think it's really important to show our children, especially. You know, it's like, well, all right, we missed the boat. We're still stuck on the shiny object. Let's teach the next generation to realize that it's not the thing. But I think really inspiring them to understand that their happiness comes from things that are more important than items that are under the tree, right? So family, like, you know, my wife and the kids were making cookies recently, and how much joy they had in their hearts from something as simple as making cookies was a great opportunity to share with them, like, you see this? Like, this isn't a thing that we had to spend a whole bunch of money on. This is more an experience with your mom that you're really filled with that actual joy. And so trying to get them to realize that is a big, big part of the season.
You know, I was trying to think, Tommy, in preparing for this, when we look at the devil's greatest lie, and I know you wrote about that, you know, we could probably be here till next Saturday listing what the devil's greatest lie is, right? Because it's like, well, what time is it?
Yeah, boy, he's got plenty of them that he's using on us, and they're working really well, unfortunately, due to our original sin, right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest one that we have is we're stuck in this thought that only what we see and experience is what's real to us, and we live our lives. I mean, I can own that. I live my life quite often as if this life is all that there is, because I think we can get into this complacency as we go throughout our day, and heaven becomes like an intellectual thing sometimes, where we kind of know heaven exists, but do we feel it and live like heaven exists? I think that's the way that we can overcome this lie. But it's hard. It's like waking up every day trying to remember that, you know, God is real. God exists. He's not just an intellectual exercise. Heaven is something we're striving for, and it's going to happen after this life. And trying to really remember it. It's kind of silly to say, because I'm sure people are like, well, of course, duh. But, I mean, it is hard to grasp that and really, really live that way intentionally, you know?
We have, in our past conversations, Tommy Tai, talked about how you and your wife lost a son, and he only lived a few hours. Did Satan come up with new lies for you after that, or were you able to attenuate his voice in your life after that experience?
I think before our son was born, he was right there, really had our ear big time, because we were just full of anger and full of rage, and there was just no trust. It was like everything had been kind of sucked out of me, is how it felt. And even being able to pray, you know, I think his ability to lie in my ear about how prayer felt worthless. And at the time, it kind of did, because I was so spiritually dry that I was able to, or I allowed myself to buy into that, you know, and I kind of stepped away from prayer because I felt like, what's the point? Nothing's changing. And so it was very easy to fall into that trap. After he was born, the day he was born, you know, it was that all just melted away completely, because even though it was so painful and it was so hard to be in the hospital, there was this incredible, like, unconditional love like we've never felt before. Like, just a perfect, unrepeatable, amazing, incredible love. And it just felt perfect, which is so odd to say in a situation where you're holding this baby who's, like, dying, right? But it really was. We felt like the love of God in that moment, which just completely, like, blew the lid off everything. I wish I could have had a better understanding of that through the entire trial. But God really showed us, like, this is kind of what it's all about. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you realize that heaven is real. I'm going to make you realize that this is something that we have to strive for. And even the experience of baptizing my son, because since, you know, my wife was going to go into labor at any minute, the priest was like, this is what you do. Here's the holy water. And kind of, you know, in this situation of an emergency, made sure that I knew what to do. And that experience was, it was truly mind-blowing for me, because it was as if I could feel like something was happening during that baptism. I've never felt it any other baptism, where you're in a church and there's a bunch of people and it's this kind of sacrament, but we let it become like a cultural event. In that moment, it was not a cultural event. It was nothing more than a sacrament, and it was so powerful. So it felt like that devil's lie was being just sort of melted by God in that moment, which was unexpected, because we kind of figured it was just going to be nothing but pain and suffering, but it was so much more than that.
And Tommy, as a result of that experience, how does it change the experience for you and your wife when you kneel in front of the creche on Christmas morning?
Yeah, it changes everything. I mean, it's so interesting. Sometimes I think about, we think about, why did this have to happen to us? Like, why would God let something like that happen? But now when my wife and I, you know, sit down, kneel, and we pray, and we think about our lives and what we want to do for God, we feel driven, because we want to be with our son again more than anything else. And sometimes I laugh, because I think, like, as if like Jesus and Mary and the saints and being in front of God wasn't enough for me. But now that my son is there, I'm like, I'm ready to do it. We got to do this for real. And so, it's like God knows what it takes for us to be able to work towards what he wants us to become. And even though it's something that we wish wouldn't happen sometimes, he's got this thing where he's like, this is the thing that's going to help them kind of wake up, to kind of like arise and actually take this seriously. And I think that if we can kind of stick to it and follow God's plan, then my son's life will be more than worth it, for sure.
As the father of five boys, how do you teach a very young family about Satan's lies?
Boy, we can talk about it all the time. The world is full of it, especially out here in the Bay Area in California. So we have plenty of opportunities to remind our children. So it's a very tricky, difficult, and important thing for us to teach our children to have compassion, but also to kind of recognize that there is absolute truth, and to remember that. And so that's something that we're constantly battling out here, trying to teach our children to respect people and to understand where people are coming from, but also to be able to be firm in the fact that there is a truth. It's very tricky. But again, you know, we have so many opportunities. I don't know what the rest of the country's like, but especially out here, we have lots of opportunities to have conversations about the ways that, you know, we are prideful people as humans that make choices that God doesn't want us to, and we can kind of walk through that slowly. But, the prevalence of sin in our lives is a great way to look at how the devil's still active and still trying to trick us, because we do things we don't want to do, right?
Yeah, and then surprises around every corner. It's like when you drive around that bend and there's the deer in the road just facing you. You can jam on the brakes and swerve around it. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And it's the same thing with temptation, right?
Most definitely. But it's so great to see these kids, to have children who you can tell really care about God and want to be holy at this young, innocent, beautiful age. It's such a fun thing to watch them and inspire us. I think our kids inspire us more than we touch them.
You're right. Yeah, the junior evangelizers. Tommy Tai is a Catholic husband and father of five boys. And, of course, you can follow him at the Catholic Hipster.com, and Tommy Tai up on Twitter as well. Very active on Twitter with a lot of food for thought on a daily basis. So, Tommy, when you look back at Christmas, what were the hot toys for the kids this Christmas?
Well, for some reason, my children finally got into Pokemon this year. So they've never played the game, but they've seen the cartoon because it was on Netflix. And so we got them a couple of plushed stuffed animals for them to play with. So they're we try to take everything they like and make them do it in a creative play that's not in front of a screen. So we got them these stuffed animals to go play with, as opposed to sitting and watching a TV show in front of the screen.
Excellent.
That's probably the hit. That's probably the big hit.
That's good. And you don't need batteries either, right?
That's right. I'm sure that the stuffing will be coming out quite soon, but, you know, they'll have a good run however long they make it.
Well, now that we're in the new year, I think we all want to get rid of a little of that stuffing, but that's something else. Tommy Tai online at CatholicHipster.com. Tommy, it's great to start the new year with your voice. Thank you. God bless you.
Always a pleasure. Take good care.
Thanks, Tommy. Best.